Welcome to the Edinburgh City Supporters Club podcast. We hope you enjoy the show.
Well, hello everybody and welcome to the latest edition of the very unofficial Edinburgh City Supporters Club podcast. As always, I am your host, the Right Reverend Bobby Love. I am joined, as always, by Citizen Neil, Mr. Rooney. How are we doing?
Not bad, mate. Not bad. Yourself? You all right?
I can't complain. Just getting ready for the Christmas bevy sessions at the weekend.
My next lockdown. Okay.
Look, as long as I keep the Belfield open to get takeaway pints, I'll be happy.
Actually, yeah.
And after missing the last pod because he fancied to be Skive, the man himself is back, Mr. Monks, Ali Moncrief. How are we doing?
I'm all right, gents. No COVID scares this evening, so all present and collect.
That's good. That's a relief, considering what's going on about just now. No doubt we'll talk about that later. But anyway, we've got a huge, big, massive show for your listeners. It's possibly going to be a long one like normal, or longer than usual. We're slightly delayed for what we have been. There's a huge amount of games, other bits and bobs. So we'll get into it. First game since the last pod. The game we'll probably spend the most on was the Albion Rovers debacle. Is that a decent enough word for that? The 4-0 loss. Possibly the worst performance ever from a City team that I can remember. I'm not going to say too much on it. I'll let you guys go first, Ali.
Yeah, I think it was one of those where I think we all said it after the result that it was always when you thought the manager was done for and you thought there's going to be some serious changes here. It was body language from the players, body language from the touchline. What was 3-0 down in the first by half time. You know, I think we've got maybe one shot on target the entire game, playing against a team that okay are a bit better, you know, this season than they have been, but a team that historically we've got a good record against, you know, at home. It was just there was nothing positive to say. I think it really was the worst of us when the concerns we've had all season about how weak the team are, how easily overrun they are in the middle of the park, the lack of steel, the lack of bite, the lack of aggression, and that was just shown up by being, you know, 3-0 down at half time. I think he made a triple sub at half time to try and shore things up, but it was one of those ones. You know, even if you watch the highlights back, you'll just see how the players react. There didn't really appear to be any leadership on the park there, other than Danny, I think, to be honest. So, yeah, I think Danny was trying to get people going, which is part of him maturing into pro player. But you think of City teams in the recent past, would, for all their faults, would Thompson, Balotelli, Laird, Black, would they have allowed that to happen? I don't think so. You know, I think it would have been more of a fight, but it was, yeah, you said it's the worst in recent, but I think it's the worst I can remember. And I was astonished that it didn't lead to significant change. I think we all said that, you know, that looks like that's it done and dusted. It just felt like a team that needed refreshed completely. So in credit, we'll talk about the rest of the games coming up. So fair play to the players and the manager for being able to react and get off the floor from that. But yeah, nothing positive to say at all. Just the absolute zenith of all of the things we've been worried about with the team. The lack of penetration up front, but more importantly, that lack of, that lack of steel in the middle of the park. And actually through centre-halves as well. I think Bronski came on. He's our only really aggressive centre half, really, I would say. So it was just, you know, quite easily put away by Albion Rovers, which is as depressing as it sounds, to be honest.
Aye, really?
I've not really had much to add to that. The only thing I would say is I would have probably gave their number 10 man the match if we were allowed for the supporters club that we were in, because he ran riot. So fair play to him.
In fairness, it wouldn't be the first time we'd given an opposition player the man of the match, because we did that with Declan Glass in the 5-0 game against Cove. we could have, I suppose, but no, I think you guys are right. Watching it back, it was poor. even speaking to those with even more esteem service and ourselves, even they labelled it one of the worst performances they'd ever seen, possibly the worst, and that's including when we were sitting like second bottom in the Scotland League. So that'll tell you exactly how dismal a performance it was. Despite things that we'll come on to, got ourselves up off the floor, played at home the week after against Stranraer, a 3-1 win. Robertson got a couple, Jinky got one, C-Tax missed a penalty. Rooney, what did you think?
Yeah, it was a lot better. It was definitely all the reaction that was expected or required, you know what I mean? Even if they had a draw that night. So I'm just having a wee look. You can see Jaden played, Berry played, Ernest Murray's played. I don't think he's played really well since he's been in. You know, the reaction was there. You know, Robbo gets his two goals, which is great because he's done really well. Maybe if he learns how to pass a wee bit, it might be even better, but didn't want to be too critical. They played really well. You know, if they scored a penalty right at the end, start at half time, that kills it. But and then they score, that kind of puts everybody a wee bit more jittery, although maybe not too jittery because, you know, they were too great. So, really good performance, really good way to bounce back.
Hi, Ali.
Yeah, I thought, so this was the game straight after the Scotland game, so Scotland's Moldova game. It's a rare double header on a Friday night. Actually, I thought the crowd was crap. We may be touching Friday nights later on anyway, but I thought it was actually an example of where the club missed a trick, because there was nothing about it being a double header. There was no, like, you know, attempt to say, you know, watch the game, Scotland game here, and get a taxi or get a bus or even just anything to link it to try and get people to do that. There was none of that at all. But which I thought was frustrating. Just, you know, if you're going to do something different on Friday night, you know, Scotland are playing beforehand, there is time to watch the game and get to the ground, because that's what we did. It was, I think it was a pity that there wasn't able to exploit that a little bit. But in saying that, I think, you know, we've all talked about Robbo a lot on this, and we talk about a lot of games and things. For me, that was one of the best lower league striking performances I've seen. I thought it was just absolutely exceptional. They just could not handle him at all. Scored a brilliant goal, ran all night, you know, was used the ball. He is greedy, which is fine, to be honest with you. I don't actually have a huge... It's rare that I would have a go at a player for being greedy, because especially when it comes off more often than not, which it does with Robbo at the moment. I think it was probably one of the games where teams hadn't really worked him out yet, so they were letting him come in on his left-hand side. We've seen obviously teams doubling up or trying to push him onto his right, which he's nowhere near as comfortable on. But he scored one absolutely outstanding goal. The penalty from Taffy was atrocious. I think 3-1 was a fair reflection of it. And I think when you look at the lineup, Ennis Murray came in, played 80 minutes, and he's not what you would call, he's not like he's a midfield enforcer or anything like that, but he is aggressive. You know, he runs with the ball, he causes problems, he doesn't just sit and pass it side to side. Gives us a much, much better balance. Berry came in and you know, looked aggressive, kind of put tackles in, which was good, and used the ball pretty well. So it was a really good reaction from a dreadful, you know, from a dreadful performance. And I think if we played Stranraer, it's probably our most comfortable performance against them, I think. Thinking back, it's, I know we've played them a huge amount of times, but it's always been really tight and really pretty poor games, if I'm honest with you. But I thought this was one of the better ones. And Jinky getting the last-minute goal to put the seal on it against his old team was a pretty fair reflection of a decent performance, I would have said. The goal we lost, though, was awful. Just a big punt through the... Punt through the middle of the park, completely missing them. We could see one again like that just the next week or something, which was incredibly frustrating. But no, a really, really good reaction. But Robbo was the star of the show for me. As good as an individual performance that I think I've seen at this level for a long, long time.
Aye. So, on to the next game that none of us were at because we all had other things to do. Unfortunately, still and I've been away, always a tough place to go. Ground out a 2-1 win. Looking at the highlights, I don't know if our highlights purposely do this, But it looks like we took a bit of a battering for quite a lot of the game. I don't know. It just seems to be the way they do it. It just, I don't know. Maybe that's the way that goes. I don't know. But obviously, we managed to dug in. Robbo got the penalty, so we managed to score one. They went down to 10 men after, I think it was Ray Grant, lost the heat a little bit. And we made that advantage work. So, aye, good result, Ali.
It was actually, and I think, obviously, switch up with Tapping missing the penalty the week before. Robbo had to go a dreadful penalty. I don't know how it got into the net, but it did, which is obviously, I guess, all that matters. And then it's going a good goal to win it. We've had a few good wins away there. I think we've all been at a handful of them. So we've actually got a decent record against them. And they're a funny team, Stirling Albion. You know, I think when we look at the league and we obviously the manager left a couple of games after this, maybe two or three games after this, threw his toys very much out of the pram on the way out, which was fair enough.
It's probably the most bitter statement I have ever
tremendous.
Seen.
I think my favourite bit about it was that when they posted it on the website, Stirling Albion made it clear that they hadn't edited this at all. So this was just a stream of consciousness from Rukovic, and you could tell it was absolute drivel. So if we've contributed to that in any way, to perform, then the happy days, to be honest with you. But again, it was good. And, you know, again, Robbo's in the team, and his money's in the team, you know, making a difference and causing teams problems. Interesting career in his money. I don't know what will happen with him at the... Is he on a full year loan?
I think so.
I think so. Be interesting what happens then, because he's far too good to be playing down at this level. And I think if we can just keep him fit, we're not talking about injuries yet. But if we can keep him fit, he'll be such an important player for us. So no, it was a really good win. But I wouldn't have Robbo on penalties. So someone else is going to have to.
We're just playing penalty roulette at the minute, to be honest. Because usually Danny takes them, but he's not fit. Or hasn't been taking them. I think Uzi had a. Did Uzi have a go? Maybe. Then we've had Robbo, we've had C-taps. I might as well just get Shockey up there, just a blast. I mean, it's proper or something.
They'll probably try and place it and make a hash at it. Can't be too fancy.
End up losing an empty net goal. Rooney, your thoughts on Stirling Albion?
To be fair, I've only watched the highlights in this bit, you know, long ago, but. Again, it still counts as a positive result after bouncing back after the horror show or the late Halloween show against Annan. That was a good result. Take scraping wins on the road, and we seem to be doing better on the road than we do at Angel Park.
I'll come to that when we talk about our Fridays. Aye, so sorry to cut you off. Were you going to finish here? Or?
No, you're all good. That's just another good result.
Yep. So midweek, a camel trek up to Elgin. A draw, 1-1. Ennis scored. Me and Rooney watched that on the stream. It'd been the first time I'd seen them properly for a while. I thought the game was actually pretty poor. It was another one of these, much like it was when we played Cowdenbeath, was how were they near the bottom of the league? and as we speak about, it was the same watching the 20s. It was like watching against Civil last week. It was like, who did they bottom the league? Anyway, to be honest, I thought Elgin played much better from the majority of the game. It's never easy to go there. We've not lost to them in 4 years or something like that. 3 years, three years, I think it is. So a point's still good, especially going on the camel trip. You're obviously part-time players, guys got to take time off work and they're not getting back until 4 or 5 in the morning and whatnot. So it was good to dig out the result. The performance wasn't great. I think the gaffer's post-match interview, if you're reading through the manager speak, was very much like, oh, we've got away with one there. You know, it's like, oh, we didn't deserve any more than a point, which is usually manager speak for, we should have lost. We watched it together, Rooney. What was your take?
I'm just having a look between that and Stirling Albion, and I suppose a good take was good to see Kieran Bryan back playing, but it's It's a good point away from home. Again, another positive result away from home. You're probably right. Elgin, I wouldn't say they probably deserve to lose it, but I think, you know, if they've got any more than a point, it would be a steal. It's probably the polite way of putting it. So, yeah, you take a positive result and not getting beat up there and just be thankful the boys could get a bus up and they didn't have to share cars and that.
Again, eh? I mean, it was Robbie telling us in his interview, yeah, you have to go up to when the COVID protocols were at their highest. So you had to go all the way up to Elgin, yeah, piss and doing rain, and then drive all the way back in your car in the same year.
Yeah.
Absolutely nonsense. Anyway, Ali.
I thought it was a bit of a missed opportunity because we'd have been on a good, you know, obviously reacted so well to the Jets performance against Albion Rovers. Kane Hester wasn't playing. I think he'd been sent off the week before. He always causes us. Just one of those names that you, just one of those names you look out for in this division. Like obviously, like Sutherland before him, you know, at the same time.
Shane Sutherland is a striker version of David McGurn. His middle name's Fucksake.
And Hester's got a bit of that about him as well. So you know, Hester's been, I've been sent off the week before. It's suspended, so he's thinking it's a decent opportunity to take the lead and then very quickly lose it again with a bit of poor play. I thought it was a missed, it's not a disaster, but when you think how poor Elgin have been this season, you know, just kind of second bottom at the moment, just ahead of Cowdenbeath, but I think we should have had a better performance. I thought it would have been a good way just to keep the run going, but you know, we certainly didn't deserve to win the game on the. It was a pretty damp squib, I would have said.
Aye. So next game, Scottish Cup, our away game at Ainslie Park, that big glamour tie away from home against Lothian Thistle, Hutchie Vale. I was feeling a bit peaky. You went, Ali. What's your view?
It's the earliest I've ever left a game of football. And it had nothing to do with performance. I was absolutely frozen. I just, like, we got to, you know, sometimes when the sun just goes down at around half time and the temperature doesn't have far to fall, but it falls enough to just be like, so I was in the Lynx Tavern, which is a reasonable distance away from the stadium, I can assure you, by the time the final whistle went. So I think I shot off after about an hour. We played all right, to be honest with you. I wasn't particularly impressed by them, to be honest with you. I thought they might. I actually thought expecting them to cause us more problems, and they did later on. If they had a bit of a push at the end of the game, I was long gone by then, to be honest with you. But we were actually really comfortable up until the hour mark when I headed away. I was watching my pal, who's not an Edinburgh City fan, but he popped along and he was just like, it's just really comfortable. He's like, it's not, they're not any real threat. They're big. Actually, was Jaff, like a friend of the show, was on and said that they're, he's like, he's, as you know, Jaff watches every lower league team in the whole country. So that, he said he'd seen them and he said, oh, this boy will cause us problems. I think it's the big striker. And he was playing at centre half.
Errol Douglas, was it?
Yeah. Was Errol Douglas? Aye, was that? So he was playing centre half and never caused any problems, obviously. By the way, we did score eventually, so he did cause us problems. So Jal was right, but he was surprised by him being put back to centre half. But it was nice to have a game on a Saturday. So we were able to have a few beers beforehand, you know, sat in the pub, watched the early game, you know, the kind of things you would normally do before a game. So that was good. But it was just a bit of a nothing. It was, you know what? I think the temperature actually affected the crowd because everyone was just like, "I just want to get away." It's just so cold. So yeah, it was. Got through. We were the better team. Deserved to. We did seem to get a bit sloppy near the end, which is frustrating because you want to just be professional and see these things through. But the first hour or so, I thought we did more than enough to wrap the game up.
Yep. Really?
Yeah, and I've only watched the highlights, say, so I can't really comment on. It's good to get through. I suppose that's the only.
Danny Handling was very good, actually. Danny was excellent, I have to say. Scored and was unlucky not to score another Liverpool played very well.
I believe he got the man of the match for Supporters Club there. So as he always listens, just remember you wee wido. That's your third one of the season, all right? Before you start whinging at me on Twitter and besmirching my good name. Right? No, John Robertson does not live in my house. End of story. All right.
Hold on a minute. Tell Brian to Brian's in the spare room though, so maybe go and get him if he wants to join in.
Rocky for Ballon d'Or, come here.
Keep the noise down, we're recording.
Anyway, aye, so well done to Danny. We'll be coming on a wee bit longer segment, I think, later on about him. Yes, obviously that cup win, I don't know, do you want to do Aberdeen now, do you want to leave it later?
Let's move on to Annan.
Move on to other games, right. Okay, next game was a game at home against Annan. I was not there. Again, I was raving in Belfast. I had my glow sticks out. First time in 2 years. Just a fully cathartic experience. I got really emotional when I walked in. Got really emotional thinking about it, actually. You know what I mean? 2 years after a pandemic and one of the things you love the most gets taken away. So it was good to do it after 2 years and one of my favourite cities that I've ever been to. I love Belfast. It's such a warm and friendly place for me. But anyway, you guys were there. I think the performance was poor. Ali?
we were walking around because we stood at the far end for the first half. We were walking around. The boy sitting in the sand grabbed me. He said, "Oh, hi, Ali. Getting on." This guy I play sitting aside, but I don't really know about other than the players. So I had a quick chat to him and I was like, he said, "Oh, I was just, you know, that was come along and things like that to see what it's like." And I was like, "You'll fucking regret this." I said, like, "You will regret that choice, Ali." And I saw him the next Wednesday playing football and he was like, "Do you do that every week?" And I was like, "Aye, you're fucking ass. Why? I don't." It's a difficult question. I said, "We were absolutely awful." I think the first shot on target, 90th minute, 89th minute, something like that.
Yeah, we almost scored.
We did almost score. We had a good view. It was right behind the goal at that point. So a decent laugh with the goalie, but just awful. Just absolutely awful. Nothing in the performance at all. The goal we gave away was crap. And had another couple of really good chances. We looked like a team that was going to get relegated, to be honest. I know we're not or anything like that, but that's what it looked like. Just absolutely nothing to it at all. And you know, there are players on there that should have been able to do better. There was some decent attacking options on the pitch, you know, Uzi, Robbo, Ennis, Hilton. It just didn't do a thing. Just honestly, it didn't do a thing. I think this was about to do our man of the match, 1-2-3. And I think Rav Mack got some points because he came across to chat to us at half time and was very polite. So it was. I actually can't remember if I voted 1-2. A couple of names at the hat.
I think you could add to that. Yeah. See, if Danny had come to speak to us, he might have got some points as well. But
yeah, could have done that exactly. Yeah, yeah. You know, Danny had to come down and see that.
So if he's listening, so when he does listen, Danny, if you want to get some man of the match points,
come and say hello. That was bad.
Aye, Rooney.
That was bad. Aye, it was really bad. I'm just seeing here, I remember Chris Kane getting taken off, and that was the biggest cheer of the night when he got taken off after 80 minutes. So that was in a back four, as we're probably going to allude to and say very quietly next, but in a bad four. And a back four, no. That's just no. That's relegation fodder playing that at centre half. Not good at all. He's not solely to blame, I might add. But and it was just after Robbo had got his award as well. It was a bit like Robbo was trying to do it all at times, because there was a few times.
Yeah, it was.
Square it! And then we'd have a shot out of the hand, you're like.
Yeah.
So.
What I found about strange about the report about the Annan game after watching the highlights was that people were finger pointing at Schwocke for causing the goal.
No,
and it's like surely that was a poor back pass.
The boy Mackay,
Dave Mackay
pays the ball back and Bronski doesn't go for it, thinking it's going to roll.
It almost looked like it was a pass into like no man's land.
It was because it went to nobody.
Like, you know what I mean? It was like, but you know what I mean, like. As in, like, it wasn't like he was trying to pass it to Bronski and he's just made a mess of it. Or he was trying to pass to Chris Kane on the other side and he's made a mess of it. He's just put it in the middle of nowhere. this corridor of uncertainty. And Schwalke's like, oh, shit. And he said to come out. He's done the right thing. He's maybe, could he have done better?
It's a good pass into space if we had an astronaut.
Aye. Ben's finest, eh?
I know we don't get these types of stats at lower league level, but if we had the errors leading directly to a goal, then Dave McKay would be, he's had three or four, and they actually, he looks quite good for most of the game, but see when he makes a mistake, maybe a bit of bad luck, a couple of times he's missed balls coming straight through the middle, that pass there, he's made some, I don't know what it is, I don't know if it's communication, I think a lot of it probably is communication actually, which is maybe not all his fault, to be honest with you, a couple of times he's let high balls come through, that pass, all that kind of stuff, whether that's on the training pitches as well, I think there, but he's
Continuity. Well, you know, like,
well, yeah,
one week the boys played left back. You can say that probably. We're going to go on to continuity in a minute, another thing. So, but there's a lot of, you know, one week the guys are playing left back, next is right back, then he sent half.
But the goal we lost to Elgin was directly because he ducked when he didn't need to. But there was no shout for the keeper.
That's what Ali's saying. No, it's not all to do with that, but, you know, a lot of it will be because of that. So, anyway,
right, next game. I was going to say a triumphant comeback. We didn't win, but I was there.
I went.
The steak pie was awesome in Stenhouse Muir. Their security guards were absolutely tremendous with us.
Yeah.
Because we could only really, we'd been told to sit in the main stand, but the away end had been empty because apparently the young team's all been banned and emptied. So we could have stood in the away end. We kind of asked to go around. Initially, we weren't allowed to go. Then they says, aye, we did. So at halftime, we moved around. I enjoy Oakleview as an away day. It's just a kind of nice and easy to get to.
Brings back memories.
Many happy memories. You know, Sir Dougie slotting away that penalty. Danny Gaynton, though, shushing all that a couple of years ago. Just a great place to go to. Pints in the wee bar, although we never had them on Saturday, but it was great. Anyway, sorry, to the game, that's what you really want to listen about. 2-2. What's the best way to put this? A game of two halves, maybe?
Your opinion is different. For mine, so
my opinion in the first half is different to yours, but my opinion was the same as Ash and Jazz. So
you're telling me I'm talking rubbish?
No, everybody sees games differently. That's probably the best way to put it.
But mine, I didn't. Graham and Aaron agreed to me.
No, Aaron did not. Aaron didn't, because I asked him. I didn't think the first half performance was as particularly good and positive as Rooney and Feather Fraser did. We got a goal, which I thought we were kind of fortunate at. Schwalke had two or three tremendous saves in the first half, to the point that I had a guy in a city scarf I've never seen before come up to me in the pie stand and says, I don't know if you can see them in the main stand, but those were world-class quality saves. We had one stamash in the Stenhouse Muir box that we could have scored for, but apart from that, there wasn't huge many chances, really. I don't think. Obviously, it was a bit difficult with Calum Tapping going out 10 minutes before the game. Rejig things. We kind of moved to a three at the back. Or as Ross McNamara kind of encouragingly told me, it was a 3-3-3 because I forgot about Dave McKay. Everybody knows Dave McKay's play. What's it about? There was something else I was going to tell, but I wasn't going to put that in public. I'm going to say here now. I'll tell him when I see him. Yeah. but we kind of play shoot the bat with Bronski, Keane, and I think it started off as McKay at the left, and then it moved to Scott Riki. I think everybody had a go next to at the left hand side. Put it that way.
Riki played right wing back and played. And then
moved to left wing back
because Kieran got injured.
There's another one down. Kieran Bryan's got injured after playing pretty well on Saturday. I thought Kieran Bryan started at the beginning of the game in the middle. With young Alex Ferguson, he moved out to wing back. It was just a constant change of tactics, and I think Gary said that in his interview. We kind of changed the tactics a few times. You could see it throughout the game, really. The second half performance was undeniably dreadful. I don't think there's not really much we can say about that. We got the goal. It was a lovely goal, ball over the top. Robertson took it beautifully, and he didn't even break stride to go and celebrate with the fans for the pylon, which was great to see. But apart from that goal, it was almost wave after wavy attack. What was his name? Was it O'Reilly or something?
Ewan O'Reilly, aye.
He was just dancing through the defence at times. But again, we've battled in, we've got a draw, which is good. Good to see Bronski getting the sheet. I thought he played pretty well. He got man the match. Three at the back, must be said, I know Chris Kenns, we've discussed, kind of divides the fans' opinions at times.
Say it quietly.
He actually played really well on Saturday as middle of three. And Jas said that when we spoke to him on Tuesday as well. He actually plays, it was probably his best game for the club. But it looks a lot more comfortable as almost like the sweeper of the three centre halves, so to speak. He just looks a lot more comfortable. That's probably the best way to say it.
I'm glad you're sitting down, Ali. Sorry.
If I actually think at times, maybe I don't know if maybe Gary's going to have to go to a three because of the injuries or what's going to happen if we're going to have to do that just because we've got a lack of bodies, really. We'll have to see. Anyway, Rooney, you can have a go.
So, I thought we were pretty good in the first half, especially for the first 25, maybe 30 minutes. Looking at Ali's website, Soccer Base, not that he gets royalties, he just uses it. We had more shots on target than them.
But they had more shots on goal overall, though.
They had more shots off target. So, you know, I thought in the first half, for that first half an hour, we were really good, especially when we went to a back three. Scored our goal. There was a shamash with two or three blocks or saves off the line. I thought we were pretty good in the first half. Second half, they've come out, we're at home, and they've had a goal and pinned us for a lot of it. And to be fair, the guys, we've held it for a lot of it. I know we went to 2-1, but we've held a lot of it. Alex Ferguson playing, you know, played really, really well. Played really well for, you know, I'm not sure where he's going to play, if he's going to play as a deep man or he's going to play as one up, you know, him behind the striker. He's, you know, he played really, really well.
I was going to say, I think at the minute, it's our midfield tomorrow, if injuries have the perked up, it's going to be Alex Ferguson and Lucas Berry. So.
It's going to be all hands on deck, eh? But Brian played well, the back three played well. Bronski was up against O'Reilly in the first half and nailed him two or three times and nearly missed him once, which we were all like, oh no, that's red. But he played pretty well against him as well. Brian made another couple of cracking saves, which we're becoming accustomed to. I think playing the three at the back is probably going to suit Robbo and Uzi more because the two of them will be able to pass to each other and support each other a bit more and create more space for each other rather than one of them playing direct to the middle and playing one off. And, you know what I mean? So I think probably three at the back is probably going to suit us because even if he then goes and plays Hamlin in the middle, or you know what I mean? And it just gets people involved more in the middle of the park. I suppose then you've got to look at whether Rab gets back playing, can play left wing back, or Callum's playing left wing back, you know, at least just to bring a bit of balance. But Kieran Bryan certainly acquitted himself very, very well until he went off injured. And then Alan Smith, always good to see Alan back on a football pitch. So Alan got some minutes at right wing back against their most dangerous player. And I think he only got about 10 minutes. And then it was like, Alan, you need to go and play up front now. And it's like, all right, very good.
It was almost like, well done, Smithy. You're back. You've played about 40 minutes of football in the last 2 years.
Go mark this boy.
Just go and mark this boy.
And then it was, hold on, Uzi's knackered. Right, out he comes in. They put somebody else on. And then it was more of a, right, guys, just sitting 18-yard line. I think it was a good point. If we had won it, I don't think I wouldn't have complained. I thought we could have shaded that. Either team could have won it. And neither team probably could have complained. I thought we were a lot better in the first half than my colleague, Mr. Fallon, has highlighted. But that's opinions. We never fell out. I still brought him down the road.
That's fine. Ali, you want to chip in?
I thought, I wasn't at the game, but I saw the highlights. The highlights made it look like a really good game, actually. Plenty of kind of goal mouth action. Plenty of good chances. We said Robbo took his goal well. I think they gave Bronski an own goal for their first one.
I think it was a deflection. The boy danced.
That was really harsh to get Bronski on goal for that.
Aye, I think it was on target, and it's
going it looked from, it's hard to tell you with one camera angle, but it looked to me on target, so I don't know how they've given it as an own goal. Three at the back, it's not my, maybe it's the best balance for our squad at the moment. I would probably want Bronski as the middle of the three, being the, I would always want the best of centre half being the middle of the three. Prefer you play others around there. I think the concern is if they can get in behind, anyone can get behind and get some pace. We've got obviously got no pace in, especially with Rav not playing at the moment. When we used to have people like Liam Henderson, for example, you know, you had a bit of speed. There's absolutely none of that any of our centre halves at the moment, even if everyone's fit. Yeah, real pity that Kieran Bryan got off injured. I think he's been unlucky with injuries, but I think he's done really well when he's played, actually. I think he's actually been consistent with, and he's not had a huge amount of plaudits. He's probably not had anything much in terms of man of the match points from ourselves, but I think, in fairness to him, he's actually done really, really well. So hopefully he's not out for too long, because he's a pretty versatile player. But yeah, Stenny aren't great this year. We're not great this year. Draws probably seemed to be enough from the highlights to me, to be honest.
Aye, so that was that. No more games to discuss for the men. I will leave the stats about home and away until we got into Fridays. Next up, if you want to go for it, I've got on my notes here, Naismith, in out, shake it all about.
That was not on the note sheet that you distributed.
I did. One of you can go first.
Oh, I don't know. I was probably very much out after Anna, as I tweeted from my own personal account. I think there's been a lot of positives after it. I know what Bob's going to say to me next, because we discussed this at the weekend. I do think our biggest things were lacking continuity. Now, Robert will counteract and say that because we're short. Fine. But, you know, you bring guys in like Mackay to cover, and then your cover gets injured as well. And I would like to see us have a bit more squad depth. I don't think anybody could disagree with that. But I think we're just missing a bit of continuity, because the last, you know, we've joked, eh, what's going to be the Naismith bingo machine formation this week? We're saying we want a three at the back tomorrow. So we're recording this the day before we play Forfa on the Thursday. We'll end up, we came all about it, we end up playing four at the back tomorrow morning. You know, after we just played a really good three at the back, I don't, you know, so a bit of continuity. I'm more sitting on the fence now, let's put it that way, than I was full-blown football fan in rage, get rid. Because there is positives there. You know, we've not been spoiled, because we've been promoted, and you know, that was great and whatever. We've seen a progression in the club since we've, you know, Lowland League. And it's been quite a high trajectory that we're fully expecting as a fan base, and I totally agree, is that we keep going and we keep following that, you know, especially when we've had two teams that have come in after us, or a team coming after us and went up. Granted, they've pumped money in, I get that, but, you know, I think we were all hoping after last year and coming in and doing so well with that experienced squad that we just add two or three to it. You kept that most of that squad. You could have added a Kieran Bryan. You could have added a John Robertson. You could have added two or three to that squad that was there and really made it a force. But I think I'm a fence sitter at the moment, which is more positive than me going, I just get rid.
Ali, you're normally the most sensible one of the three. Even you said after Albion. That's it. For the love. And you know, because you're normally a bit less knee-jerk. Well, the thing is, I was going to say, it's like knee-jerk. I don't think it was a knee-jerk reaction. I think that was, on the supporters club, that was just a culmination of lots of frustrations of lots of weeks of all the concerns that we'd had about the team, from the manager to recruitment to Fridays to the whole lot, really. And that was just one of those. The thing is, like, I know our friends over at Edinburgh Football Pod and Callum and Stobes have said, and obviously Stobie played for us as well, Stobes, you know, he'd never seen the reaction at the fan base like he got that night. Nobody had ever seen the reaction. And it wasn't just like one or two blowhards or dickheads on Twitter or anything like that. You know what I mean? As I said in the last pod, not everybody on Twitter is a zoomer and they can put their points across eloquently enough. You know what I mean? It was a fact that near enough 95% of them, everybody was like, that's it, done, had enough. And I'm not quite, even though we've been on a decent run, which is credit to everybody, I think Gary will say himself, it's maybe credit more to the players as well, because I've had to dig in, because there is injuries, they're working a bandy together, siege mentality, whatever you want to call it. I think for some, there's still doubts. I mean, you say continuity, part of that, I think, is because we've had all the injuries. Because of that is because we've had a short squad, whereas if the squad wasn't as short, we could arrest some of these guys that have got niggles. They're having to play through them where they wouldn't have to previously. You know what I mean? He's already said in his long interview, he said last week, he said this week, like, he's going to be trying to bring in players in. Well, that means they've kind of have left a shot. Eh? If you've got room still in the squad and there's room still in the budget, you've left a shot. Right? I don't think there's any way to get around that. You know, I mean, the things like the midfield, for example, midfield's been short the entire season. You know, that's Callum Tappan down now as well. I know at some points the performances have been questioned, but again, you're asking me to do the work of three, four guys because you've got nobody else around them. You know, Danny Jardine has played well in centre midfield as a three. Those are two. And you got rid of our best defensive midfielder, who apparently, by all accounts, is absolutely starring for Celtic Hearts right now. You know, wee things like that, I think, didn't get a strong focal like, oh, I need you, blah, blah, blah. We all sat here during the run at the beginning when he first came in and praised him the Hulk, going, this is brilliant. You know what I mean? Fair enough, there was a lot of one goal wins and that kind of thing. We thought, this is great, we're going to turn the tide. This is the man that's going to take us up. You know, and maybe got stale with James as much as we love him. And then all of a sudden, it just went crashed. You know, I know there's maybe lots of things going on in the background and whatnot, Meadowbank, Ainslie Park, whatever you want to call it. But I think there are concerns. I think anybody being true to themselves has to say there is some concern still, possibly. Right, I'm delighted we've all turned it around. Again, though, we're only a couple of bad results away from a couple of points above Elgin, you know. If we'd lost on Saturday, the way the results had went, we'd been down to seventh. So it just takes wee things to turn things around. I mean, we can say luck about injuries. Is it bad luck? Is it how they're being trained? You know, apparently the pitches we're training on now are absolutely top-notch. So injuries can't all be bad luck, I don't think. You know, even looking like the team that adorns my chest every time I do this podcast, the head coach gets the best. He actually coaches at his best when all the superstars aren't playing. Right? He gets wins and the dig out wins from nowhere when you've got a totally depleted roster. And for anybody that knows about US sports, they get salary caps and all that. There was at one point we had 2/3 of the salary cap injured. So let me bring up guys who probably aren't quite NHL quality and we're getting wins. That's what Mike Sullivan for the Penguins was at his best. At the minute, when we're getting lots of injuries, we weren't maybe necessarily getting the best out of the team. Does that make sense? So that's kind of possibly on the manager. And obviously we've lost Stevie Crawford. That's another assistant manager gone. Fair play, he's going to take on a role on his own. We get that. You know, we're now wanting, a third physio of the season. It's just that, like, why is it another physio? Because they're all injured or because something's going on in the back? Stevie Crawford's left. We appreciate he wants to take a full-time job, but on his own, man, that's grand. Grant Murray, I mean, he repeats it again, isn't it? Oh, I've lost Grant Murray, I've lost Stevie Crawford. Can he all be doing losing them? You know, it's difficult to get there. I'm probably more sitting on the fence again, but I still have serious concerns about where the club is currently heading. You know, he says, oh, we didn't expect to be in fifth. No, you're right, we didn't. And I think for some of us sitting here, we probably expected to be slightly lower, considering the turnaround of the squad and necessarily who you got rid of. But again, as we said, anything other than second, the clubs went backwards. Currently, we're probably going to get second. We're miles off Kelty. I think we're almost as close to Cowden Beath as we're at Kelty. So, I'll let you have a wee gab, Ali. I've had enough of that. On you go.
I think the main thing for me is the way the season has panned out and the way the league has panned out. He's got to get the chance to get us into the playoffs. You know, Celtic are going to win the league by miles. Everyone knows that. They are much better than everybody else. Maybe a bit complacent sometimes, I think, but they are, you know, just streets ahead of maybe it's 3-2, and it was the most flattering 3-2 you've ever seen in your entire life. 4-4 look the best of the rest, to be honest with you, as we'll find out tomorrow night. But they're certainly better than us anyway. After that, though, it's kind of anyone's game. So I don't think it would have mattered who was in charge of us this year. I don't think we're beating Kelty. So then can you get to the playoffs? You know, once you're in the playoffs, who knows? I don't think, you know, the bottom of the league one's particularly great either there. So it is a poor division. We're still in with a shot of our realistic goal, which is getting to the playoffs. I think for me, a bigger problem than Naismith as a manager, coach, whatever, was the recruitment. I know we've talked about it a million times, but that set the tone for the season, the way the squad was built. So he talked about in his long interview, which I thought was pretty good, to be honest with you. And I'm glad the club did it. I thought it was good to run just, you know, post match and things with tensions and maybe running a bit high and things. It was good to hear him sit there and talk. It's going to come down to recruitment, and if it was Gary that did the majority of the recruitment in the summer, then he should be getting nowhere near it in January, because the recruitment has to be good in January, irrespective of injuries, all that kind of stuff. Okay, a couple of players will come back, but we need to be bringing in players that are able to come in and to do a job and are able to address the imbalances in the squad, irrespective of everyone's fit or not. And based on the summer recruitment, well, whoever was doing that summer recruitment has to take a back seat. We've all got our thoughts on who took the lead on that. But this is still a squad that you can add two or three bodies to it in January. Then we can easily be in the playoffs with this squad, to be honest with you, based on the rest of the league. I'd honestly, I mean that as a compliment to City at the moment. I mean, the rest of the league is absolute muck, to be, or at least is very, very inconsistent anyway. So yeah, I think you give them the season, you see where you get to. We have to recruit better in January. We just have to. I don't know if we think we might get a bit extra cash from the Aberdeen game, you know, the fourth round of Scottish Cup. That might be enough to, but obviously with the COVID stuff coming, who knows and all that kind of thing. But I don't really know what to make of him. I think he seems to get a good bit out of some attacking players. You know, he got a lot of Danny Jardine. He got a lot of getting Liam Brown further forward. He's got a lot of Robbo, to be fair to him. You know, how much of that's Crawford, etc. I don't know.
Just on that, John Robertson, I don't know if you leave the news, and he pretty much credited Crawford. So,
yeah, and look, you know, Gary, you've got to go and look at bringing an assistant manager in, and we've got to, and that can make that. It seems like the kind of manager who needs a good, strong assistant. You know, not all managers need that. You know, some will have someone who just puts the cones out or whatever it is. Obviously, Naismith wants someone pretty strong alongside him. The risk of doing that is you get tempted to hire jobs or to, you know, Crawford's gone to East Fife and so, you know, all that kind of stuff. So that might make a difference. You might bring someone in, you know, a good assistant manager, a couple of good signs in January. We might sneak through the playoffs, beat Clyde in the final, something like that. And you know, happy days. But that would be lovely. He's quite a hard guy to judge. The recruitment was crap. How big a role he played in that, who knows? But it's kind of tainted the whole season. I think he has made a mistake. I think he changed things.
He's a tinkerer.
He is a tinkerer, yeah. And I think that does confuse players. A couple of times he's left us exposed in the middle of the park, either through personnel choices or through formation choices. And even at this level, playing two against, even we played, you know, Banks, it is a real struggle, to be honest with you. So yeah, I would give him to the end of the season, but I'm not going to end of the season, I think.
You're not going to be banging the table like Boris is.
No,
Boris's yeah. cronies, no, exactly.
None of that.
I think you're right in recruitment. I think that's been the real bugbear, I think, for a lot of people, especially when you see how probably the one major deficit we've got on the team is the defensive midfield, and he's now going and starring for the best team in the league. You know, I mean, I was just having a look there, as I said, between the gap between Kelty and Cowdenbeath. We're 17 points behind Kelty and 13 ahead of Cowdenbeath, and we're 10 points behind Forfar. So, that I mean, from last season, that's a considerable difference, really, in terms of where we're at, or maybe where I think we want to be as fans, and I think where the board want to be as a club. I think you're right. To be pragmatic, it was good to get the interview. Not many managers would sit down there. You've got to give him some credit for that. I think there's been a slight change in his tone in post-match interviews as well. I know speaking to some of the fans, they somehow find him a bit hard to like in post-match interviews, where there seems to be a wee bit more conciliatory tone after since the Albion Rovers game. So I don't know. Everybody will go, well, ha-ha, look at your tweet now, you all look stupid. Maybe it was just a kick in the arse need. You know what I mean? Maybe it needed something like that to galvanise the team and the manager to get their fingers out and say, right, guys, if we didn't get our fingers out here, it's all going to go wrong. So sometimes that's just to boot up the arse they need. It doesn't have to come for the board. It can come for the fans, especially us, who've got a pretty... We're not exactly the most vocal of fan bases at going at coaches or anything. I mean, even when Gary Jardine left and we knew it was all going really shit, nobody was asking for him to go because obviously he'd been bought a lot of time. You know, when James went, that was a massive shock to everybody, I think. You know, as I say, we've praised him highly when he first came in, so you kind of got to take the rough with the smooth. When things aren't going well, you're just going to have to take it the chin, really. Yeah? Yeah. And that's the same for anybody in any line of work. If you do things that are well, you get praised. If you do things that are shit, you get told. And you just have to suck it up, really. I think, obviously, football's got a bit more emotion to it, possibly, but as I say, we're not a fan base that... Is in that regard as militant. We're militant in other ways, possibly, but certainly not when it comes to managers or coaches or berating players or anything like that. We've never really done that. Even going back to the East of Scotland days, we've never really had a fan base that's ever been like that. So maybe that was a wake-up call as well, the fact that we've actually turned and went, right, that's it, we've had enough. Right, you're going to have to do something here because, I mean, even if you look at it, the crowds are down, which we'll come to anyway, it's not exactly been a whole bed of roses the last... 2-3 months. I mean, the last month's results have been pretty decent, granted. But then again, we're still pulling out poor results. You can say it's inconsistent. It's a young team. Well, that's up to you. You have a recruitment that makes sure you've got some guys who are a bit more experienced in there that can do better. But we'll leave it there. Unexperienced players, apart from the fact he's injured. I think, Rooney, you maybe wanted to mention Danny and how he's grown into the captaincy since he's got the armband.
Da-da. He has done very well, to be fair. Even when they were getting rattled 4-0, you can still hear him try to encourage folk and, you know, edge folk on. So, you know, give him his due. He has stepped up to fill any boots while he was fit. Sadly, he won't be. Well, hopefully, he might play tomorrow. But...
Well, fingers crossed. But I think he's out for a number of weeks, is what we're. What the gaffer said. Ali, what's your view there?
Yeah, I think, you know, Danny's been with us for a while now, and I think he has seen a bit of a change in him this season. I think Naismith has given him some responsibility. I think he's put in some of his better performances have been under Naismith, to be honest with you. I think he moans a bit, unless he had a habit of you know, he still is vocal, which is good, but I think his body language is a bit better, and I think that's maybe him realising he's got to, at such a young, there's a handful of games he's going out and he's got an 18-year-old, a 19-year-old, a 20-year-old in beside him and things like that, which is a challenge. I think he's changed his approach a bit. He looks a bit fitter to me. It's making a bit of sense. I think the injuries is a real frustration for him because it's just kind of stopped him in the tracks, and I think he's, I think if we just get Danny settled into the team, he can be a really good player at this level, and he's had a decent season, to be honest. So yeah, I think he deserves a lot of credit.
Yep.
Easy for a guy who's played at a good level previously and has obviously had setbacks and things to just kind of coast, and plenty of players would have just let things drift away and ended up in, you know, at Trinidad or at or whatever, or something like that, or Mussey or something like that. You know, you see that happen all the time with these types of players. But Danny's done, I think Danny's done well to knuckle down. And he's got to be looking, the club have got to be looking to moving up. And guys like Danny should be looking to move up as well, you know, either with us or on, and he's yeah, let's get him back fit quickly because he's a goal threat as well. It makes a big difference to us.
I think until last week he was a joint top scorer, so that'll give an idea. I mean, no secret the fact I'm a huge fan of Danny. I mean, I know we all get him stuck on here and he gets uptight on Twitter and all that, but it's no real secret I'm a massive fan. I know injuries have kind of blighted him a little bit, but we're having a look at the stats. I think over the last 2 years he's barely missed a game. I think last season he was almost ever present in the league. So it's just another one he's came doing. I think how we were doing was the club captain was Rab. We had all these different vice captains and all the vice captains are now injured.
I know.
You know, so Callum Crane's injured, Callum Tappan's injured, Lee Hamilton's injured, Danny's injured. So that's your four. I think it was your four rotationals, wasn't it? So the armband got to Uzi on Saturday, I think just because he was the most senior of the squad. Especially in inner city terms. So it's just maybe what the idea is don't give anybody the captaincy. Maybe that's what it is. Don't give anybody the captain's armband. injuries just we'll come back to that. I think as Gary said in the press, we've got what 14 fit players and two of them are goalies. And one of them's under 20s goal like that. So anyway, so Danny's captain. I'm quite happy. He's obviously he grew into it. It's just a shame that's kind of injuries have stopped that going, really. Yeah. Right, women's team. Usually a bit more positive. I think for the last time, the winter break has just about started. It started for us on Tuesday after the cup tie. First time we had a game against Stenhouse Muir up at Oakle View. We won 5-1. Four different goal scorers I've got here, if I said it right. Erin got the first, Nicole Rutherford with two, Beth Preston, and Caitlin Mussel with an absolute rocket of a goal. I mean, it was an absolute peach. It was about 35 yards out, right in the top corner, man. Absolute perler, right? Like, deserved more publicity, I think, than it probably got. It was an absolute beauty. We missed the first goal because Dave forgot to hit the on switch for the YouTube link. So we missed the first goal. So I got four. I was at my dad's watching the game, right? So I'd been having a wee visit to Norfolk. So it was another good performance again, you know, once again, getting the ball, pushing high, pressing, attacking. Just once we got that kind of, it was one of these games, you're like, oh, are we going to score? We're going to score enough. And then Stinney pulled one back. I think he made a 2-1. It was like, oh, God, here we go. But no, once again, the kind of second half came out, just focused ourselves and got on with it. Rooney, you watched it as well.
Yeah, I've only watched part of it, to be brutally honest. And I think the stream went when I tried to watch.
Blame Dave
as well. I by the time the last goal went in. So, yeah, been playing very, very well, to be fair, from what we've seen. So, not a surprise to see them score 5 goals.
Absolutely not.
Get 5 goals and we've only seen 4, but you know, not a surprise to get them seeing 5 goals.
I think that game kind of typified the strength and depth that the team have got because Rachel Connolly played about 3 or 4 games and been absolutely outstanding at right wing back, and Erin come back for injury and came in. But it just showed, but now you can laugh, but you know what I mean. It just shows the strength that we've got somebody who's played so well. But then you've got another right back who plays just as well.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we've got pretty much around the team, is that if somebody drops out, there's somebody come in and replace them. And it doesn't really upset the balance of the team or anything like that. You know, sometimes Angela Lamont's been missing in the middle. We've still got somebody to come in the middle and so on. You know, so it was good. It's good in that respect. Next game was a Gartcairn loss at home. You were there, Rooney. I couldn't make it. I wasn't feeling great.
I stood with Ja. If two of us touched on this the other night, it's probably one of the best games of football we've watched as a contest and seen them get beat. Two set pieces, I think, they got beat on. Maybe a wee bit, you know. Two set pieces. Wasn't too much in it. It was a tough game. Another one of these, if they had got a point or they had one you wouldn't have questioned. But as a advertisement for women's football, very good, a very, very good advertisement, because I thought we played, both teams were very, very good to watch. Very good to watch.
Aye. Obviously, slight disappointment. It's a loss before we go into the league winter break. We're still fourth, so only a couple of points off of talking about a goal difference. So we're still well in a shout.
Really?
Aye, there is goals, aye. Would you believe?
Wow.
So, you know, we're still on the hunt to go up. I think it's the top two go up. So all kind of get themselves ready and fit to come back after, I think it's middle of January or something, we're back for the last game before. Yeah. The split, there's a split after that where it's like top half, bottom half. They all play all against each other and the reverse fixture of what you had in the first one or something like that.
Yeah.
The interview that we've got with Laura Connolly, the goalkeeping coach, that will be coming out next week. She was just as confused trying to explain it during the interview as I'm trying to tell you guys right now. So I think it's like that. It's like, top two go up, but before that, there's like a play your remaining games, everybody plays each other once, and then there's a split. And then you can play your remaining fixtures of the reverse of the whatever how it goes. It's not quite like the men's SPFL Premiership or that, where you can have like three away games against the same team and all that nonsense. Anyway, Tuesday night just passed, we had a cup game against Airdrie. Pretty comfortable performance, I would suggest, against was it 4-0 win. One of these games that was attack after attack after attack, and we thought we're never going to score here. The goalkeeper had a great game. We hit the bar about three times. It was one of those, I think Nicole said that in a post-match interview with young Jack as well, going, I just thought, was they going to come? Eventually got to sell a hat-trick, a very deserved hat-trick. I mean, yeah, she's brilliant. But it was just one of those bizarre games. We just stood there going, oh, you know what's coming, eh? Fortunately, it never.
Well, aye, me and you were not as negative as Jarvis.
Jarvis, aye.
He's seen it too many times, so the goalie just has a great game. So.
Aye. But no, it was a good game. I don't know. Airdrie, did they offer a huge amount? The centre-half played really well.
The centre-half and the goalie. They were excellent. The centre-half, number five in their captain. And the goalie kept the score to single figures.
Aye.
The goalie made that many good saves.
A few off the line and things like that. I don't know why I bring it up, but the referee was abysmal.
The referee
at this level, honestly, is abysmal. All of them. And it's like Beth got taken out for a penalty, and I mean, it was a shocking tackle. Right? The lassie had been nipping at the entire game. And actually, the girl that was playing against her wasn't actually a bad player. But she was too busy trying to kick her to focus on her own game.
Yeah.
And then eventually just got to the penalty. Beth had the penalty. She's kind of skipped by. She's whopped her. And it was like, I said before this coming on, it was one of these ones. If it wasn't a red, it was an orange. You know, it was a terrible, terrible tackle. And the referee never even booked her. And like the three of us are standing there going, what's happened there?
I forgot his cards.
Thank you. Well,
they
found him in the second half. But they found him for the Airdrie manager. He got sent off, which was kind of comical. Then he came and stood next to us, hiding behind me and Rooney to make sure the referee could see.
I was complimenting the referee and saying, "Well done on his decision." We're like,
"Of course you were." Of course you were. But in fairness, he was very complimentary about our side, and he says that. He certainly expects us to be right up there by the time the end of the season comes. Yeah. He's a very good team. He's probably the best he's seen this season. So, and that's coming straight from a coach. It's not us being fans or anything like that. This is an opposition manager saying it. So, on to the next round of the Cup. League game's coming up in the middle of January. As I alluded to there, we have a rather insightful interview, I would suggest, coming next week with Laura Connolly, the goalkeeping coach. Keep yourselves an eye out for that. Was it about 50 minutes an hour? Something like that. We're going to release it as a bonus pod, as a wee Christmas special.
We were going to tie into this one, but we thought 3 hours. It's not worth it. So
it's too long. So we're going to release it as a wee Christmas bonus. And then, to be honest, thinking back on it, it probably deserves to be on its own standalone interview. Laura was fantastic. She really engaging interview. I'd be surprised if I get many better interviews than that, to be perfectly honest. So that's coming next week. And that's the women's team.
Yep.
So, what do we want to go for? Mr. Monks Moans, Meadowbank, Fridays, Rooney's Rants. Mr. Monks Moans first, get off your chest. I can see you itching to go for it.
No, well, I think it probably ties up with those other two characters. Well, as the Friday nights, I have to say, I was quite open-minded about it when it was announced. Was that clear? I don't know if it's years and years and years of kind of social conditioning that on a Saturday. Do you know what I think it is? Friday, it doesn't feel on a Friday night like that it's like an escape from the week. It just feels like another task you've got to do. Like obviously I work from home just now, like 5:30, 6, whatever time it is that I shut them down and whatever, put the wee one to bed, kind of things like that. I barely have time to think about the game and you're there and it's not an event, there's nothing exciting about it. You don't get, and even that cup game, went and met my pal, had a couple of pints, watched the early kickoff, you know, just sat and talked nonsense. You know, the kind of stuff that you would always do before the game. Then a Friday night, by the time you're finished, it's, I don't know, the back of 10 or whatever, and you only have another pint if you're staying out for a late one and things, rather than having one and going in for your tea. So it just it's actually a really hard, really, really hard thing to do. I find it, and actually, I know you're a fan of summer football, Bob, and it would maybe work if it was summer football. The weather is just, who wants to leave their house at this time, that time on a Friday to go and stand outside in the, it genuinely is, it's an absolute drag to do. And then for it to be £14 for walk-ins to come, a nonsense, to be honest with you. Obviously, it's the Ainslie Park. It's hard to get to, yada, yada, yada. But I think the main thing that annoys me is, so I suppose two points. First one, Friday nights are much worse than I thought they would be. They're actually a much worse fan experience for me personally. Just because it doesn't feel like part of my weekend. No, it's not. It's not at all. And it doesn't have to be. I'm not saying it's a good day, you know, out all day, but just a couple of pints beforehand. And just catch up with folk and get in the mood for the game and things. There's not, so it's much, much worse from that point of view, and I miss that pre-game stuff much more. But I also frustrate how little the club have done with it. All it is we play on a Friday night, sometimes tweet about Friday night under the lights. Who cares? Like, honestly, who cares? Like, they've done absolutely nothing to make Friday nights any different. And that's it. There's no creativity. There's no ideas. There's zero. Like, how hard would it be to get, like, you know, whether it's a pizza truck in the car park or something, or even something like that, or even just put buses on for something, or just try and do something, or put a ticket offer in, or whatever it is. There's nothing done at all. And you can see it in the attendances. Part of that is I think part of it's the weather, and I think people underestimate, despite living on the east coast of Scotland for basically all my life, you still forget just how cold it gets. And it is pretty miserable, to be honest with you. So Friday nights are my moan. And I think the club, I don't know if they're just trying to get through this season now. The numbers are the numbers. The atmosphere is obvious whenever you're there. The lack of travelling fans, other than Kelty brought absolutely loads, But apart from that, we've not had the traditional big travelling supports, and I don't blame those travelling supports, because if I can't be arsed just slipping across town, you know, to get to the game, how are people going to come from other parts of the country? So yeah, very, very disappointing how Friday nights have been. Part of it is just because it's a crap time to watch football, really. And I think part of it is the club haven't done enough, really, to make it a worthwhile exercise.
Right, Rooney, obviously I've got my own thoughts that'll be conveying shortly.
No, I agree with what Ali's doing, and we can only play devil's advocate if we would actually been winning, what it would have been like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I agree with you, take the football out of it. The experience is not a match day experience. Do you know?
No, it's not. No.
Like Hearts years ago with her face painting for the kids, and you know what I mean? All those wee things. To the same token, we obviously all thought we'd be in Meadowbank, but now could we be doing more stuff at Meadowbank because we'd be allowed to? Are we allowed to do that stuff at Ainslie Park? Probably not. Do you know what I mean? So I fully agree with what you're saying. Until we go home, I think I don't want to pass full comment. At the moment, it's shit. Because you're right. I'm the same as you. You turn your laptop off at God knows how many, whatever o'clock, and then before I know it, I'm like, I've picked you up and we're away at the game. Do you know what I mean? And it's not a match day experience or anything like that. Now, again, I was all for trying it. I wasn't convinced it would work, blah, blah. But I think at the moment, the jury still has to be partly out because we're not in Meadowbank. We are where we are. We could all think there's other reasons why we are still where we are. That's fine. But until we go to Meadowbank and they go, right, it's Meadowbank, now we're going to do X, Y, and Z, we'll see. But we're not at the moment. So they can't, to me, you're right. I think there was a bit of, I hope there's not. That's what it was like a few weeks ago when we were getting beat. It was like, there's a bit of apathy here.
There was.
Do you know what I mean? And that's not good at all. Do you know, mid-table mediocrity, okay. Years are right off, let's go back. I think if we get to Meadowbank, hopefully, before the end of the season, then if they started to do stuff, then you would go, and it maybe attracted folk, then you would say, right, fair enough. Or, you know, you're starting to do stuff and going into the next season to go, we're going to have Meadowbank, so Friday night, this is what we're going to do. Because they've trialled it and they can see it, you know, whether they've got a fan zone or whether they've got a pizza place or, you know, all these wee things. But I agree with you what you're saying at the moment. It was a bit, it's Friday night and going, you're just getting settled after work to go, oh no, I'm going back out. But I think part of that is because we're not very good.
I think probably, like, my concerns about Friday nights are well documented, and everything you've said there is exactly what I said at the beginning of the season. You know, we did expect to be back at Meadowbank by now. I think everybody, we should have been back in beginning of last month. October, then it got pushed back to the middle of November.
We should have been in October, initially.
Right. Obviously, whatever caper's gone on doing there with the contractors, has put us back immensely. Now it's going to be January. We'll come into Meadowbank in a second. I think you're absolutely right. I think the marketing for Friday nights is absolutely dismal. I think recently everything in terms of the social media and that hasn't been brilliant. For whatever reasons that may be. I think obviously Dave's taking over now. I think some of his content looks pretty good, like the graphics and all that kind of stuff. That's really good. You know what I mean? That's certainly an improvement, but we need to be doing more. You know? I know it's hard to market in the city when you're a part-time team. You've maybe not got the players to go around the schools and all that kind of stuff. I get all that. But again, it's a Friday night. The one thing you hit on there, Ali, about the kind of social conditioning, there is a little bit of social conditioning. Football is Saturday at 3 o'clock, right? Now, we get that. But what you've just said is kind of some of the discussions I've had about what it's like during lockdown and COVID and watching games on a stream or whatever else. You use that time before the game to go and meet your friends, right? To go and have a pint or go and have a juice or whatever. Decompress for your week previous or whatever you do, if you work shifts or whatever like that, right? You use that time to go set the world to rights. I mean, most of the times we've been out for a pint before a football match or after a football match. We very rarely talk about the football. You know what I mean? It's beyond the football is not just the football day is not just about the football. You know, how many times do we sit there and go, like, for example, an away day is spoiled by the football because you're in there, right? Because you're in there, you're having fun with your friends, you're chatting away, you know what I mean? You're escaping what you escape with. Now, we all kind of had a wee laugh about me going when I said I was kind of raving in Belfast a few weeks ago. For me, that's an escape, you know? Everybody that goes in there uses that as an escape. It's an escape from reality. You forget about life for 3-4 hours. You just let the music take yourself over and you kind of just get on with it, right? football for a lot of people is the same. They use that time to get away from everything else, to kind of get away from your work Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, whatever it is you do, get things off your chest and all that kind of thing. You know what I mean? Men in Scotland aren't great, historically aren't great for sharing problems. Yeah. But you'll find that a lot more of them will share problems if they're going before the football or after football, after they've had a couple of drinks, right? Now, maybe that says something about relationship with alcohol as well. I don't know. But it's a whole sociological point of what football is to society.
Yeah.
And I think a Friday night takes that away. The fact that you're having to go straight for your work and then you're not getting that chance to have a chat. It's just always pretty much right to the game, right back to the game. You're not getting that 5, 6, 7 hours of escape that you normally would.
Aye.
It's only maybe 2 or 3, you know. This is ingrained in this is ingrained for a lot of people, you know.
I think as well, just on that, because I know you've got more to add, but just on that, I think if we had been Saturdays this year and we go to Meadowbank and then the club goes, guys, you want to try Friday nights because of X, to see if we get more crowded, I don't think we would have... I still think we would have concerns, but not as many, because the time that Ali and I... Sorry, when I put the two of you up to go to the game, or pick whoever we're picking up to go to the game, we wouldn't be using that time to go back up. Even if we weren't drinking, we would be in the pub for a couple of hours before it.
Aye.
So we wouldn't necessarily have the length of time, like you've said, but... Or we would be in a cafe, or we'd be in McDonald's. We would be somewhere before it, meeting up to go. At the moment, it's... Now, this is maybe... This is from hour three, and there's another couple of boys that live close to us as well. But at the moment, it's like we're travelling to an away game all the time, at times, and it's been like that. It feels more because it's a Friday.
Aye, and I mean, obviously, what concerns and our hatred is well documented as well, and that plays into the factor. I think, as we said with the whole with the Naismith chat earlier on, I think part of the reason we all just exploded there and all was because it was fucking Friday, and it was like, just got humped on a Friday, I've not got the whole weekend to stew on it.
Aye.
Whereas when it's a Saturday, if you get beat, you've only really got Sunday to get on with it, and most times you're kind of, there's nothing, I don't know what it's like, some people are like, oh, I just got humped for not enough for Albion Rovers, now I've got to go to Christmas shopping with my missus, fuck's sake. And that kind of idea, you know what I mean? But on a slightly more serious point though, I mean, even looking at it, I said I was going to say the stats, I think Pye and Bovril put up, and we've added to it, we're now 5 unbeaten away from home, right? We've won 1 in 6 at home, right? I think that tells it. Our home form, which has generally historically been pretty good,
yeah,
we're literally mid-table. Our away form is just as good as our home form currently. Right, we've got 11 points, I think it's 11 points at home and 11 points away. And goal difference is eeksy-peeksy as well. I think, I'll have to check again, but roughly about that. That's not really making it any better for the players either. No. I think it's possibly affecting the performances. They'll maybe say that's not. Again, I suppose it's going to be the same for both teams because teams are having to travel, I guess. But most of the time you said that even apart from Kelty, who, let's face it, are probably going to be, most of them are going to be full-time-ish anyway, let's be honest. ish. No, before anybody starts shouting at me on Twitter, that ish. You know, it's maybe adding to the spectacle on a Friday because these guys are having to come straight for work after working hard all week. They're having to travel across. Our guys are going to have to do the same. It's not going to be fun for them either. You know, I said that at the beginning of the season, I feel for the players. I know they were all asked and they all said, aye, let's go for it. I don't think it's particularly working out for them either. It's not working for us. Our crowds this season are absolutely atrocious. It's the worst they've ever been. I mean, there's no getting around that. You just need to look at, I think it's the last three games, under 300. We've only had one above 400, because obviously the Stirling Albion one got recounted. We've only had one above 400, which is Celtic, because they brought a massive away support. It's no working, and I think it's harming the club. It's doing more harm than good currently. But I get I'm pragmatic enough to know there's other factors that's causing those issues, which is what we'll come on to now, which is Meadowbank. Now, as everybody would have probably seen, it's been delayed until late January. Now, we were expected to be a month ago, then it got delayed again. Everything outside is ready. The only thing we've got to do is build a new stand on the opposite side, which apparently in the programme, Jim had said, plan and permission has now been applied for. Again, what I would appeal to Mr. Chairman, I would rather these came out as statements by the club. even if it's just a we are currently in the process of planning. Here's a chairman's update. This is where we are. This is what the planning permission is. This is what we're doing. Not everybody buys a program, right? The last couple of programs have been online for those that don't buy the physical copy. We're not going to know unless we're getting told. And if you don't get told, you're not going to know. You know, and I know there's other issues going on with what you can say and what you can't say and all that kind of stuff. I get that. But at the same point, even just a two or three line statement would probably suffice for a lot of people. You know, just a little bit more about what's going on. I mean, going by now, I mean, we all stay pretty close. They're clearly working on through the night. Lights are on until midnight, even later. Equipment's starting to go in. It's almost becoming, I don't know. I think it's like we said before, the closer we get, the worse it becomes, because we're just so desperate to get there. You know, everything else that comes, we're going to Meadowbank. You know, things that the club can do that we can't do at Ainslie Park, the things that we can do that we can't do at Ainslie Park. You know, away fans saying, can't wait for you to go back to Meadowbank because Ainslie Park's a shithole. You know, everything on top of all that. And it's just kind of building up to the fact that it's just another letdown. End of January, maybe. And the only reason we got to know that was because Edinburgh Live put in a Freedom of Information request for the council, and the council had to tell them what was going on. Otherwise, the council wouldn't have said, I've been. Now, the thing is, it's not incumbent on the club to tell us what the progress is, right? It's incumbent on Edinburgh Leisure, Edinburgh Council, to say what's going on. But they're not doing it. As is typical for Edinburgh Council, they don't say anything. Mm-hmm. They'd rather just put their fingers in their ears and hope it goes away and nobody complains, right? But that's the problem we're at. End of January, when's it going to be? Then they've got another month for the end of January, end of February. Are we going to be back in this season? Ali's shaking his head. I've got some real doubts at this point.
We won't be back in this season. No chance.
I've got some real doubts. I mean, obviously, we'd love it if we were. I've got some real doubts. The only positive maybe is that very clearly they're trying to get their fingers out to get finished because of the late working nights.
If we're not back in this season, every single one of us that lives in Edinburgh should be asking for a rebate on our council tax, because that's another tin pot project like the trams that's been run by the Cowboys in Edinburgh Council, simply put.
A little bit. Some of that's to do with the contractors.
Well, some of it's to do with the contractors, but you can appoint the contractor when you're in charge of the council, don't you? So,
well, that's true. That's true. I guess so, I guess that's the point. But that's the problem, you know. People, you can say about marketing, we're going to struggle to market the club at Ainslie Park. That's just a fact. You know, why would you want to go down to Ainslie Park? It's not a good place to go. There's nothing about it. And obviously, there's every pod, and everybody will be sick of us hearing about it. But you just can't overestimate just how much harm that's doing to the club right now. You know?
It's aye. Microphone dropped there. That wasn't deliberate. not a mic drop. Aye, it's a pain in the butt. It's just, I think, like you said, the closer it's coming, the more it's becoming annoying. And we probably thought, God, we could end up being at Ainslie Park for a long, long, long time. And it's just...
It's like the carrot's been dangled, eh? The carrot has been dangled. And we're all desperate to chomp at it. And every time we go to make a swing, it moves away. The rod just extends.
Aye.
And I think that's what it is, just the sheer frustration of the fact that we should have been there already. We should have been there earlier than we anticipated. It's not happened. We're even later than we ever anticipated it was going to be, especially when you were seeing the pictures of the outside of the stand and all that kind of stuff. People can have their opinions on what it looks like. I'm not really fussed about what that is. The fact is, everything outdoors essentially looks ready. Right, the pitch has been ready for a long time. That stand, essentially, apart from a couple of little bits and bobs, has been ready. You know what I mean? I'm by it most days. You know, even go by in the bus, you can see it, it's ready. Other parts that they're taking their time with, and that's the really frustrating part. You know, because I remember Jim saying earlier on, like, if it's available and we can move in earlier, we'll move in earlier. Well, that's not happened. And that's not the club's fault. You know? So, I don't know. Al, you want to jump in before I keep going?
Oh, no, I think we all live very close to it. We all pass it on a pretty regular basis, and I think that's right. I think it's the fact that we all got so excited about, you know, it was the big splash, going home, all that kind of stuff. And it's just got later and later and later. I think for me, especially in the current kind of climate with with COVID, etc. I don't see us being in this season. I really don't. So in my head now, I've got thought Ainsley Park for the rest of this season, and then see what happens next. I just hope they can get this extra stand in place. Obviously, I'm glad Jim addressed it in the programme. It's good, so it's not something that's just fallen by the wayside or anything like that, because I think that will be needed to make it a good football experience. So really keen that, I suppose for me, with the delays, if we can just, I really hope we're doing as much as we can to make sure that when we get in, that's actually a really good experience. So that's the key for me. But yeah, hugely frustrating for everybody involved. I suppose nothing the club can do other than make sure we're as ready as possible. But yeah, desperate to get back.
Aye. So that probably counts for my Bobby's bonus because I spoke for long enough there. Rooney's rants, you want to chip in when in there?
No. I think I've had my dig at the council for once. That's enough. Sure, the
crowd was. Fair enough. Right, in the positive note, Aberdeen Cup tie. The Masters of the Shit Cup draw are no longer the Masters of the Shit Cup draw. Well, finally get ourselves a big team.
Glamour tie.
We got a big glamour tie. A glamour away tie.
When was the last time you used to were ever in the away end at Pittodrie?
When was the last time what?
Have you ever been in the away end at Pittodrie?
No, I've never been away end. I've been the home end a couple of times.
Robert?
I don't think so. I have been in the home end a couple of times for Scotland games.
We're saying it's the master. We're not got a shit cup draw because they're a big team. They've won European trophies. When we stand in that away end, if we stand in that away end, you will never slate Ainsley Park ever again.
If I'm being brutally honest, I don't think they'll open it up.
Well, they got in that away end, you got an even shitter view than you do standing at Ainsley Park. You stand at that corner and you can't see the other end of the pitch like at Ainsley Park.
You see the other end of Ainsley Park because of a floodlight.
And you can't see because everybody's sitting down in the stand. It's a shocking stand. And half of it is undercut over, isn't it, in cover either, which might not impact us.
Exactly.
Unless they just put us in the corner with no cover. Isn't there covered either. So,
regardless of that, we've finally got ourselves a glamour tie against one of the biggest clubs in Scotland.
Yes.
Rather than having to trek through to Hamilton Accies or some other shanty.
Or go to Hamilton Accies.
Or go to Hamilton Accies. or get ourselves a glamour away tie at Ainsley Park. You know what I mean? So I think it's exciting. We're hopefully going to take some fans up there. It'll be a good day for the club, hopefully a nice payday as well, which can hopefully get us some players for January. I really wasn't what I mentioned COVID, but the way things are going, I know Premiership teams are going into a heavier protocol. The only benefit is that apparently some of the scientists have came out and says that they think the peak will go quicker and it's weaker. So if that's the case, then we might be through this quicker than anticipated. Well, touch wood, fingers crossed, everyone, because as I said previously, I had a wee spat with somebody on Twitter today about you can't take the football away again. There's loads of people on Twitter going, didn't you take the football away again? Because it's only, for a lot of people, it's a social event of the week. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Some people get quite isolated without going to football. I've been quite fortunate. I've got other sports and all that kind of stuff to go to sometimes, but no, when there's COVID on. Yep. You know what I mean? I had a speed day cancelled 600 odd days before I got to see a speed day meeting, for Christ's sake. At least with the football, you could get people back in, and it was going anyway. As I said previously, that whole societal thing where it's the gathering and coming together, it's just, it'll be difficult. I'm sure they'll have it all in place, but I would expect a couple of postponements coming. So obviously that, hopefully before our wee Christmas do away at Cowdenbeath next Wednesday. If anybody wants to go to Cowdenbeath, there'll be a few years going. It's usually a pretty decent away day. I know it's a Wednesday, but it's a short trip there and back. Get to shout abuse at Donald Finlay. No, I wouldn't recommend that. Although he nearly ran me over in his car, that bastard. I was live tweeting one day for the club during the lockdown, generally when fans weren't allowed in. I was getting my temperature check off of Callum. Fucking drives in his big Range Rover and nearly takes my leg off the prick. I have seen him in court as well, by the way. It's theatrical. And no, not because I was accused before any wide old comes up there, by the way. Sorry, we'll carry the beef next Wednesday. I think that's pretty much it. Is there anything else we'd like to add?
Not for me.
No, I don't think so. I think that's other than from the women's team, what you're telling me, it's good to see that. It's interesting to see how the women's game evolves alongside the men's game, whether teams will go a different path. But it's good to hear that Airdrie will always be Airdrie, whether it's men, women, dogs, cats, etc., etc. It's still can always count on the good people of Airdrie to just be themselves.
You need to watch. We might have one or two players from Airdrie. We don't know.
They don't play for the club. It's the point of playing for the club.
That's it.
I would say
something in the air or in the water in Airdrie.
I would say it turns into an absolute cretin, but Ian Murray's always been a prick.
Say how you really feel, Robert. Say how you really feel.
Absolute bellend. Anyway, right, so that'll be that. This will be our last pod of the year, we think, apart from the bonus pod we'll release next week. For everybody that celebrates Christmas, we hope you have a good time. Same for New Year. If you don't celebrate it, enjoy your time off if you get it. Also, obviously, not everybody finds this a good time of year as well, so please keep yourself safe. If you need to reach out to anybody, please do. It's not as positive an experience for everybody else. So just remember that, folks. But I have a lovely few weeks. We'll be back some point in the new year. We'll be kicking about somewhere. As ever, if you want to join the Supporters Club, DM us on Twitter at Club Citizens. DMs are open. Email us at Club Citizen. No, hold on. Email us clubcitizens@yahoo.com. We'll get right eventually. I do eventually pick up the emails, honest. The last membership application took me about four weeks to get in, but I'd been away on holiday, so what can I say? Sorry. That's what happens. You've got the email address anyway, when you
somebody else work. Come on, mate.
Yeah. I had to go down and see my family that I hadn't seen for 2 years.
Yeah.
Exactly. I get up, yeah. With that, it's a good night for Mr. Rooney.
Good night. Stay safe. Enjoy whatever you do over the festive period.
Goodbye for Mr. Moncrief.
Yeah, cheer everyone and happy holidays when they come.
And it's a goodbye from me, the right Rev. Goodbye.